Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 20th chapter of St. John, which has already been read. You may or may not remember where we were last Easter. Not here. Not where we're supposed to be on Easter. Not good. But we're here this year. Why are you here this Easter Sunday? Went to the Keys a couple winters ago. When we go on a bike ride or vacation, we like to visit the local library and used bookstores when those things were still around. One time we went to the scuba shop and we went to the library. Then we got into the car and we were missing a credit card. It was supposed to be, well, it wasn't there. And it was dark. And because of gravity, we're looking on the ground between the library and the car. A stranger who apparently lived close by, but not in a house, asked us, "What are you looking for?" Because he wanted help. Then a couple weeks ago, on a Saturday, I went to use the log splitter. It had been under cover for winter, so I pulled the cover off, put the socket on the ball of my small, not real tractor, pulled the support leg to the up position. Where is that pin? The wire lock, I now know it's called, that holds up the leg was missing. It's supposed to be in that hole, but it wasn't there. I need a quarter-inch wire lock. Went to Tyson's. The guy pointed to the place on the rack where it's supposed to be. Maybe come back. And then on Monday, I threw some food into the car, including one egg, left home, filled up at Sam's, hit the gym, fresh time, came to my Iowa house for breakfast. Where's that egg? I put it right there in the back seat, but it's not there. It's not where I put it, not where it's supposed to be. How long do you look for an egg or a wire lock? How many times do you check the same place again and again, wishing that thing was where it's supposed to be? Organizing is part of whom we are. It gives order to life, helps us to keep track of things. I am a place for everything and everything in its place kind of a guy. The key to the Ranger, I know where it is. It's on the keyboard, right next to the spare for the RAV4. In the refrigerator, the spare butter goes here, the milk here. You put things on your computer in the cloud. You put things in the place they're supposed to be, so when you need that thing, there it is. What happens if I go to get the key for the Ranger? It's not there where it's supposed to be. Well, firstly, there's confusion, isn't there? John focuses on Mary Magdalene, but she's not alone. Luke tells us that when those first visitors saw the stone roll away and the tomb empty, they were confused, perplexed, puzzled. It's the feeling you get when the credit card or the egg or the key is not where it's supposed to be. And why not? Puzzled, perplexed. To be at a loss to explain something. What do you mean it's not there? Where is Jesus? He's supposed to be here in this tomb. I saw it on Friday. I watched as they placed his dead body into that tomb. And then they sealed it. And then the guards came. If something isn't where it's supposed to be, and you can't find it after you've looked, maybe several times, maybe there's more than one place, after a while, maybe you call out, "A little help here," and Mary ran to find some help. Perhaps Mary is multitasking, thinking as she ran, like you do when you're driving. By the time she reaches Peter and John, she had concluded that there was only one explanation for that body not being where it's supposed to be. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Who are they? The they who took the body. And we don't know where they have laid it. Who are they? Who would be incentivized, who would gain something by removing the body from Jesus, of Jesus, from where it's supposed to be? Even as Mary speaks, the men who had been guarding the tomb so that the body would stay where it's supposed to be were reporting to their bosses. The guards reported what they had witnessed. They felt the earth move under their feet. They saw angels. They trembled in fear. And the chief priest listened to that eyewitness account. Oh, and the body's gone. Body's not there anymore. They listened to probably 16 guards' eyewitness accounts, and we hear of no variant testimony. They listened to what the guards said, and then they gave him money. Then they gave him money and instructed them to tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. Matthew, writing 20 years later, says that, quote, this story has been spread to this day, and it has. Story number one. Yes, he was dead, and he stayed dead. What happened to the body? Well, you know those 12 men. Well, 11 minus Judas. Those 12 men he had selected to carry on his work when he was gone. You mean the ones who are holed up in that room with all the doors and windows closed because they were scared? Yeah, those guys. Those guys. So they what? Came out of hiding? Did they overpower the guards? Or did they sneak past them? Roll the stone away? Maybe there's a secret back door. Well, there's no body. We don't have a body. So what other explanation could there be? What do you think the they to whom Mary refers who took the body, the enemies of Jesus? They had no incentive to steal the body. They needed that body to be in the tomb. It was awkward that it wasn't in the tomb where it's supposed to be. Story number two, he was never dead in the first place, so it's no big deal. Peter and John ran the other way towards the tomb. John got there first, and no, he did not have a head start. John got there first, but it was Peter who went into the tomb to have a look. Then John went in, and he gives an eyewitness account of what he saw. He goes into great detail about the neat placement of the linens. The evidence does not indicate a smash-and-grab body theft or a tomb invasion. Most people, when they die, they stay dead. A few. Lazarus comes to mind. Know what it's like to die, and also know what it's like to come back to life. It's almost like Jesus was vivified by the Father. Tidies up a bit. Oh, look, the angel has rolled the stone away. We will be reminded next week that he is able to walk through walls, but probably he went out the front door, took a stroll, life is good. And we don't know if she ran, but Mary made her way back to the tomb. She's outside crying, still likely trying to figure out. There aren't that many options, right? Finally, she goes back to the place where he's supposed to be. Maybe I'll look inside and take a closer look again. But nature abhors a vacuum, and two angels had occupied the vacant tomb. They asked her why she was crying. She told them, I've heard these words before, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. She was confused and ran for help, Peter and John. When John saw the empty tomb, he believed. He recalled the words of Jesus. When he told them three times he was going to Jerusalem to be killed, they heard that. When he three times concluded with the news of the resurrection, now John gets it. Now John believes he's gone because he's risen from the dead. Mary, not so much. So how do you find Chuck Norris? Of course, you don't find Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris finds you. And in that way, Jesus is like Chuck Norris. She's looking for Jesus in the place where he's supposed to be, and she's looking hard. She can't find him. And wherever he had been, now he's behind her. And she sees him, but she doesn't see him. She thinks it's the sexton. He was supposed to be there, taking care of upkeep and the like at the cemetery. Maybe he is the they who have taken his body, and she doesn't know where they have laid it. And he spoke her name, and it was in the hearing of her name from his voice. We recognize voices. If you used to listen to Jim Fisher, then you know that voice. That's his radio voice, by the way. The one he uses in person is different, and it includes impeccable grammar and no use of the word ain't. Children know the voice of mother and father, and they know tone as well, and the meaning of tone. Same thing for spouses and old friends. Of himself, the good shepherd, Jesus said, "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Mary had put her Lord here on Friday night. On Sunday morning, she came back, and he was gone. And you don't find Jesus. Jesus finds you earlier. No apostle had volunteered, "I'd like to be an apostle." Jesus found them. Later on that same day, on the road to Emmaus, they do not find him. He finds them and has that fun conversation about himself. Later still, Peter and John came out of their locked room and looked for Jesus and did not find him. They returned the same. And after that detour to Emmaus, Jesus found them in that room. And there's only one reason why Jesus would tell Mary to stop holding on to him. We're kind of not huggers. I deliberately avoid hugs. It's the way things are these days. But people like Mary and Jesus did that all the time. Quick review. She watched the crucifixion, then a proper burial, then nothing. Sunday morning, out to the tomb, the body was gone. That's an even a big deal even today. And then she hears him. And then she sees him. And then she calls him Rabboni, teacher. He tells her not to hold on to him because soon he will be leaving in 40 days the ascension. He speaks of their common God, their common Father, that hearing with ears, seeing with the eyes, she now understands. Jesus is alive, and he's appearing and talking to her, and he is right where he's supposed to be. Still haven't found the wire lock. Last time I checked yesterday, still wasn't where it's supposed to be. The egg? There may be an egg going around my car somewhere, or not. I'll keep posted on that. We did find the credit card without the assistance of the stranger who lived around there, but probably not in the house. It was between the passenger seat and the console. We call that place the credit card holder. We recently found out it can be used as a cell phone holder. Mystery solved. And it felt good to discover that place to answer that question, where is the credit card? It's not where it's supposed to be. Mary felt that. And she declares, "I have seen the Lord," and related to them that conversation. It turns out, on that Sunday morning, Jesus was, in fact, exactly where he was supposed to be. And that's kind of the thing about Jesus. He's always just where he's supposed to be. On Friday, he was right where he was supposed to be, on the cross. Later that day, his lifeless body was supposed to be placed into that cold tomb, And it was. And on Easter Sunday, he was supposed to rise from the dead. Mary and the rest were supposed to see him outside of the tomb, not inside of the tomb. When he ascends into heaven, it's because he's supposed to. He's coming back at a time known only by the Father, when he's supposed to. And on that day, maybe before, we'll go to heaven to be in the place where we're supposed to be. Until then, hear and recognize the voice of the resurrected Jesus here. Eat his body, drink his bloody blood here, where he's supposed to be. So we weren't here a year ago, but we're here today, and that's good. And why? Why are you in this place today? Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.